John 15, verses 1 through 8. If you don't have your Bible, there's one on the hymnal shelf in front of you, or you can open up your smartphone or your tablet, and you can read along with me. This is your first test of the day. When you get there, say,
amen.
Sounds good. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. He removes any of my branches that do not produce fruit, and he trims any branch that produces fruit so that it will produce even more fruit. You are already trimmed because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. A branch cannot produce fruit by itself, but must remain in the vine. Likewise, you cannot produce fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, then you will produce much fruit. Without me, you cannot do anything. If you do not remain in me, you will be like a branch that is thrown out and dries up. Those branches are gathered up, thrown into a fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified when you produce much fruit, and in this way prove that you are my disciple. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I have a question. Can anybody else in here look at a plant and make it die like I can? I mean, it's a spiritual gift, I believe. I can look at a plant and it dies. That's immediately what I thought about when I read this scripture. But I mean, everybody preaches about that for this scripture, right? It's too simple. It's I am the vine, you are the branches. It makes me think about roses, which is probably one of the only things I enjoyed growing and actually could grow. It makes me think about ferns and just how they wither and fall apart when I touch them. But I wanted to kind of look at a different angle today. What I've been thinking about this week is not necessarily withering and wilting, but more like staying connected and being pulled apart. I think that's what's most amazing about this picture that Jesus gives the disciples. It's this picture of connection, and we all love to be connected. We love to be connected. It's part of who we are. We connect to our family. We connect to our friends. We connect at work. We connect in all areas of our life. And it gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. It gives us a reason to be happy. That's the image Jesus gives us after the Last Supper. You know, for the last couple weeks, we've been talking about Jesus reintroducing himself throughout the book of John. We started at the well when he meets the woman who says, I'm waiting on the Messiah. And he says, I am. And he reminds her of that image of Moses at the burning bush. And he says, I am the Messiah. Come to me and you will have living water. You will never thirst again. And then we move on and he says, I am the bread. I am the substance that you need. Then he says, I am the light. Any darkness in you, I will extinguish. Then he says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says, I can bring new things. I can do all things. And then last week, we talked about while he was at the supper with the disciples, and he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what he was saying is, I am the Father. If you know the Father, or if you know me, then you know the Father and you know the way to where I'm going. I am the way. Follow me. Look to what I've I've taught you, what I've showed you, what I've given you, what I've spoken to you. And this is the way, the truth, the life. But then, after that, just before he goes to the garden, he's still in this conversation with these loved ones and with all of these disciples and people around him. And he gives them this image, which I think is probably the most powerful image. Because he says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vineyard keeper. And this would have spoken to each and every one of them on a very basic core, down to their soul level. Because back then, they couldn't just run to Walmart and buy food. Most of them had to either grow or shepherd their own food, right? So this idea of growing and having a vine and branches and clipping and trimming, this was a part of who they were. So this image had to strike each and every one of them at their simplest, most basic whole soul, heart. I mean, because, like I said, we all like to be connected. We all want to be connected to that thing that gives us life. We all search for that. And Jesus was telling them, I'm that connection. But I also think that they understood something a little bit deeper than that. Because when he started talking about pruning and trimming to make you produce more fruit, and then he started talking about trimming and cutting away and being thrown into the fire, I think what he was telling them is that this is not going to be easy. It's going to take work. Because just like any plant that you have, if you don't know what you're doing, you're gonna kill it. It's going to wither and wilt and turn brown, and the leaves are going to fall off, and it's going to be pitiful. Let's face it. If you don't believe me, come over to the house. I'll show you a few. No, but he knew it was going to be hard, right? He knew it was going to take work, and that's what he was telling them. He was giving this image of something that would take work. Because I know, maybe, this simple image was just something to kickstart them. Because he knew once he left what was going to happen. He knew that these people would be by their selves in their own minds, and that they would look for something to cling to, look for something that was tangible, look for something that they could grab hold of, that they could touch, they could feel, they could be a part of. And I think we do that today. I know we do that today. Just like I said earlier, we all want to be connected, and we find ourselves getting connected in places around the world, like work. And we pour ourselves into our work, and we find fulfillment in our work. We pour ourselves into our family and we say, look, this is what's important. This is how I'm going to define myself through my family. And we say these things are good, which, yeah, they are in a way, but they're not as good as we think they are. Because Jesus never said be the most powerful, wealthiest, richest person you could be, right? That's just the American dream. That's just what the world says. So when we pour ourselves into our work, are we truly pouring ourselves, connecting to what Jesus told us? Well, yeah, but Pastor John, you said family, and that's always a good thing when you pour yourself into a family, right? You're absolutely right, because Jesus never said anything about turning a father against a son and a mother against a daughter. He never said anything about putting your hand to the plow and looking back, and you won't get anywhere, right? He never said any of that. He said family's most important. No, I don't think that's what Jesus said. I think what Jesus said was that he's the most important. And I think that's the point he's trying to make with this introduction of I am the true vine. He's trying to remind these loved ones and these disciples that nothing else matters. Nothing else will give you life. Nothing else will feed you, sustain you, and help you to produce fruit except for me. You have to stay connected to me. But we live in this world that is fighting for and dragging us away and trying to tear at our roots and reconnect them to something else. And it's easy to do because we want that tangible, that instant gratification. We want that ability to say, I'm connected to this. Here they are. They give me instant feedback. They make me feel good. They make me feel alive, like I'm wanted, like I'm needed, like I'm loved. And I think what happens is our edges begin to wilter and wither, and we don't even realize it. I think what begins to happen is that the fruit that we thought we're producing begins to change, and maybe it becomes a little bitter, maybe it becomes a little unrecognizable, but it's still fruit, so we still feel like we're doing something good. But without even knowing it, we've grafted ourselves to the world and we begin to change. And parts of ourselves we push down and lock up and turn off and shove down into the darkness of our souls because it's too painful to look at, too painful to think about, too painful to deal with. And what we end up doing is saying we will connect ourselves to the vine that is Jesus in the parts of our lives that we really enjoy and really like and really it's easy to do. But those other parts that we find ourselves being satisfied and gratified and finding life from that are tangible and touchable and that I can talk to them and be friends with, those are the parts that I don't really need Jesus that much because I have them. Don't need to point at Nolan. You're a good guy. I do find gratification. But I mean, sometimes what we do is we connect ourselves to other places and we tell Jesus we don't need as much of the true vine here because we have this other vine and it's doing great and it's feeding us. But what we're not getting is the fullness of the life that Jesus is trying to feed us. What we're actually doing is killing ourselves slowly by letting pieces and parts of us wilter and wither, and we don't have the nutrients. We don't have that living water that Jesus is. We don't have that bread that he offers. Our leaves are shrinking in the dark because we don't have the light that he puts off. And those pieces that are dead and withered that we just would rather cut out and get rid of and ignore and pretend they don't exist, we will never see them come back to life because we don't have the resurrection that Jesus offers. Because we're not fully connected to that vine. And the fruit that he tells us we will bear. Okay, I got a quiz for you. It's just because I've been yelling a lot, I need to give my voice a break. So, Thursday morning at McDonald's in Orange Beach, every Thursday morning, 6:30, they have these little kids, school kids, they have a breakfast club. I was the guest speaker, and I asked this question. What are the fruits of the Spirit that we could produce? And a six-year-old answered this, so y'all are on the go. Woo! That was too quick. Nobody else got a chance, but y'all all knew that. I know that. Don't worry. I understand. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, all of that, right? So God says we will produce fruit if we stay connected. Yet if we look at our lives, there's parts of our lives that we do have love, joy, peace, that fulfill us and give us life. But there's parts of our lives that fruit may not be there. And maybe even if we're really honest, really true with ourselves, what happens is maybe there's parts of our lives that we're robbing other people of their love and their joy and their peace and their goodness. Because we've become so poisoned, so wilted, so hidden in the dark that we begin to poison the other branches around us. Maybe what we need to do is we need to be honest with ourselves. Maybe we need to do some really deep down diving self-reflection and say, what parts of me are dead, are wilted, are withered? Maybe those are the places we need to spend most of our time instead of just saying, well, I got Jesus in most of my life. I'm connected to the vine where it matters. Maybe what we really need to do is maybe think about the fruit that we could be producing and not see it as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, just in its own, but maybe we could see it as life-giving to those around us. Healing to other branches around us, bringing other people around us and reconnecting them to the vine as we reconnect ourselves to the vine. Maybe that's what this is all about. Maybe that's the fruit Jesus is calling us to. Maybe that's what he understands right here at this moment, that he's about to leave and go be hung on a cross. Maybe as he's sitting there with all of his disciples, he's saying, I need to give them one image, one thing that will stay with them and just feed them and fuel them and remind them that the only thing they have to do, the only thing they have to focus their energy on, the only thing that they really need in order to survive all of what's coming, to be able to stand out in a world that is tearing me down, the only thing they need to know is they need to stay connected to me. And that's it. Not to each other, not to work, not to friends, not to family, not to alcohol or drugs or partying, not to anything else but me. I am everything that they need. Everything. And I want them to know that. You know what's amazing is that Jesus was pouring himself into these disciples, right? Pouring himself into them. And it touched them, it changed them, it filled them with so much joy that we have this book where they wrote this stuff down. And they passed it on back and forth among each other, around to other churches and Christians. All the way from that day to now, we have everything we need to know in order to live the life Jesus called us to. We have the information, but do you have the connection? Have you looked at your life and said, the only thing I need in order to live the life Jesus called me to is him? So I'm going to make sure in every area I'm connected to the vine. Maybe you've done so good at that in certain areas, and in other areas you've just ignored it. Maybe this is your time right now to focus on those areas. Because let me tell you this, and I think this is the most important piece. In all of these introductions that Jesus makes, he never once looked at somebody and said, you don't deserve to know who I am. You know what he did? In those instances, he looked at that person and said, you are exactly who I'm looking for. And I want you to know me. So there may be pieces in your life that you're not happy about. There may be places in your vine or your branch that are wilted and withered that you've just been trying to ignore your whole life because you don't feel like it's worthy. You don't feel like it's redeemable. You don't feel like it can grow any fruit. And you might feel like it doesn't need to be connected to the vine because it needs to be trimmed off. But let me tell you something. When Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life," what he really said was, "I speak life into death." And those pieces of your life that you're hiding from, that you're burying, that you're trying to ignore, are just pieces that need new life. And they just need to be reconnected to the vine. And what you will find is that resurrection is here for you. Now, life is here for you now. Substance, bread, water, light is here for you now. You, all of you will find life when you make sure your life is connected to the true vine. And the vineyard keeper, the vineyard keeper will be amazed at the fruit you produce. When you share that fruit with those around you and begin to heal others, begin to introduce others to the life giver. Amen?
Amen.
We can go another 15 minutes. I know I can come up with some more stuff. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that you have called us here into your house, into your presence, that we get to listen to your words. You tell us we have already been pruned because we know your word. Lord, that tells me that there's not any part of us that you want to see disappear. What that tells me, Lord, is that you want us to make sure that all of us are connected to you with every part of who we are, just to make sure it's rooted in you so that we can begin to know all of you, to know you as the Messiah, to know you as the living water, to know you as the bread of life, as the light of the world, as of the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, the life. Lord, you want us to know all of you, and you want all of us. Lord, where we are weak, give us strength. Where we are scared to look into ourselves and see those withered parts, give us courage. Lord, those pieces of us that we're ashamed of, speak grace, speak mercy, and remind us that there is no shame in you. In Jesus' name, amen.